The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers scream.
We need to do a lot. Take America back. Take back control of our own sanity, health, education, welfare. I don't mean the kind of welfare that they dish out down at the local state, city, and county offices. Good evening. Jeff Bennett here for the next hour. Second hour of the National Intel Report. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're known as protecting your wealth. Some of the reports that I'm getting out of Florida, and I can't remember if this is Florida or the Houston area, the unemployment figures that the government has been dishing out have been improving over the last number of months. And I don't mean just since Trump took office. A large number of manipulated numbers were getting dished out even during the waning months of the previous administration. I prefer not to mention who the occupant of the White House was. Don't care to hear that name or see his or his wife's ugly pictures for the rest of my life. But the unemployment figures were appearing to improve month by month by month. Of course, the next month they come back and they have to readjust them. According to what I've been told, over the course of the last week, because of hurricanes, losses of homes, etc., losses of businesses, some 51,000 new applicants just in one area of these hurricanes has taken place this week. So it's going to be interesting to watch this over the next few weeks as these hurricanes unfold, the devastation, I mean, complete islands almost totally wiped out. And we've gone from Harvey to Irma. Wasn't there a movie? Irma La Douchebag or something like that. And we've got Jose coming. Well, unfortunately, Jose's been coming for years, and Jose's helped cause us employment problems. Oh, that's different, Jose. Okay. And, of course, we've got this big move that's been going on for the last year to increase minimum wage to $15 an hour. Now, on the surface, I have to wholeheartedly support and agree with that because the current minimum wage, and I don't even know what it is anymore, probably half that, is unsustainable. No one can survive at $7.25 an hour. You go in there, if you're lucky, you work your buns off for 8 hours. You make about $60 working in a day, which I guess for some people is okay. But it doesn't do much to put food on the table. If you're lucky enough to get paid $60 a day, that's before taxes, mind you, and Social Security withholding. You work 5 days a week, so six times five, it's $300 a week. How can anyone survive on $300 a week in this country? You know, an average family of four is, even if they're pretty careful with coupons and they're not buying lots of sugary soft drink dessert crap, you're going to be hard pressed to spend less than $200 a week on groceries. Well, so let's see, you've made somewhere around three, what does that work out to? What did I say it was? 760, $60 a day times five, 300. So you're making $1,200 a month. Sounds good. But 800 of that's going to food. 700, 800. Now, unless you're a retired military veteran, you can go to the FX, the PX, whatever the case may be. You can go on post and you can save a chunk of money buying there. Out here in Arizona, you could go to a place, it's called, I think it's called Food Mart. It's a division of one of the larger grocery chains out here in Arizona. The problem is it's where, I hate to say it, and please don't be offended, folks, it's not meant to. It is where a large number of the questionably placed individuals in the state of Arizona shop. We're talking predominantly the Hispanics. It's basically a huge Mexican market. And, oh, yeah, you've got the Green Giant and all the usual stuff, but the fresh vegetables, the fresh meats are real close to expiration date, okay? They've shifted them all over there. They've discounted them. You know, you get lots of pork chop steaks and stuff like that that's been rolled in some kind of a coating. That's typical. So you don't ever buy that stuff in the grocery store, okay? You go in there and you see pork chops that have been dusted with some kind of a roasting powder or whatever. No, that's the end of its run. That means that stuff is starting to turn color and they're trying to cover that up to get the last ditch bucks out of it. Don't kid yourself. So you take that $1,200 a month or whatever it happens to be, and you pull off $600, $700, $800 out for groceries and milk for the kids and all that kind of stuff. And how are you going to pay a mortgage payment? How are you going to make a rent payment, a car payment, pay the utility bills? So they want to double it to about $15 an hour. The problem is the psychological has basically said the employer can no longer afford to pay that kind of money. So what does he do? He starts cutting positions, laying people off, going to part-time. Gee, I sure like you working here, Raul, but I'm going to have to cut you back to 25 hours a week. Then what's been the point? And this is the game that's played on a continual basis. What gets lost as to whether or not the U.S. federal minimum wage should be increased to $15 an hour or whatever is a basic understanding of how often Congress has raised the minimum wage in the past. How does the current 7.25 stack up against previous levels? Well, I'm not sure that it really matters. I'm looking at a chart that I can't show you on the air. And yet the thing that is amazing, we had 9% growth. This is the real value of minimum wage in this country from 1940 up until 2017. 9% growth. I'm sorry, 91% growth from 1949 to 1950. From 1954 to 68, it was 68% total growth. Now, what I'm talking about is wages, the adjustment for inflation, all this other business. From 79 to 95, it was a 33% decrease. This is purchasing power of the dollar. And since 2000, there's been no growth. We've had a nominal minimum wage, a real minimum wage adjusted for inflation. But the problem is low-wage earners could do the most with their paychecks in 1968. They earned more than $10 an hour in 2017 dollars. Congress passed a few adjustments between the 90s and 2000, but the wage is back to the same level it was in the 1980s. And where does that leave us? Well, cities and states can pass their own minimum wage laws, and 29 have higher minimums than the federal minimum, but most people work in places without a local ordinance. Washington State, $11 an hour, same as Massachusetts. California, $10.50 an hour, but that's a joke because their taxes are outrageous. The cost of a pack of cigarettes, a gallon of gasoline is outrageous. They just had a 42% increase on the state tax for a gallon of gasoline this summer. Vermont's $10, Arizona's $10. Connecticut's 10. D.C. has its minimum set at 11.50. But there's 29 states that have even higher minimums than the minimum. Texas, they're holding at the 7.25. So, you know, I can sit there and take a look at this graph and that chart. There is a belief that there are ways to solve the problem that would appeal to both sides of the debate. But remember, when you were working 40 hours a week plus overtime back in the 70s, the 60s, the 80s, whatever, and you were working full-time for a company, you got some other benefits. Maybe you got some profit sharing, even when you were at minimum wage. What was the minimum wage the first year you went to work? For me, it was 85 cents. I believe that was the figure back somewhere around 1962. Freshman in high school. Yeah, I could go to work at the age of 14 then. By God, I it was so excited when it went to a buck 10. Holy moly, man, look how much I'm in the dough. I gone from 85 cents to a buck 10. And then 3 weeks into my senior year of high school, I said, the hell with this. And I dropped out. Because at that stage, I saw things that were taking place in the education system that I said, this isn't right. In some cases, I know more than the teachers do. But I was an avid reader and student at that point in time of history, of life, of world events. And I dropped out and I went in the military. So much for the minimum wage of a buck 10 an hour. I think my original pay was as a you know, not even a PFC, just a entering grunt, you know, 69 bucks a month or something stupid like that. Of course, while the rest of the world was paying $5 for a 33 and a third RPM album, I could buy one at the PX for $2.50. It was less than that when I started, you know, $1.75, whatever. Cigarettes, dirt cheap, no taxes. What happens if things cost 2% more next year? The wage is going to increase 2%. Would it? Would the workers benefit because their take-home pay would slowly rise? Businesses would benefit because raises would become predictable? It sells well on paper. But unfortunately, if there's a 2% inflation rate and the cost of living index pays accordingly, that would be great. The problem I see is that they always seem to find a way to lie about the numbers. Remember, figures lie, liars figure. Only way to look at it, in my estimation. How are our children and our grandchildren going to make it in this coming life? Look what's happened in our lifetime to the economics of this nation. Look what's happened to the reason I talked earlier about how the government manipulates the unemployment figures is because it's not just a matter of those who lost their job for one reason or another. I have a client in Los Angeles who has worked for a company for a good number of years. But because of California taxation, because of California's regulations, not even letting farmers have access to water to grow their crops, effectively becoming a sanctuary state for illegal invaders, so many other things that they do in California, there are businesses that are saying enough is enough. They're not going to pay the tax rates to, in effect, support a lot of, let's just basically call it, non-constitutional issues. So they're shutting down their California operations and they're moving the companies to other states, Texas in this particular case. Doesn't matter who the company is. It's the fact of the matter that my client had a choice. He either could have moved to the state of Texas, which is where the company moved to, but that's not what he wanted to do. Born and raised in California, his wife, his kids, everything. Well, I'm reaching the point I don't want to visit the state of Jerry Brown, let alone live there. The high-speed train that he wants to have put in so people could get from L.A. to California in no time flat is, and when I kid you not, the train's going to get built by the Chinese. Nine chances out of ten, the chinky dinks are coming over to put it in. I have a musician friend who was one of the engineers on the design of that whole project, and he's now concluded his portion, and he's now moving back to Arizona. He's been gone effectively 5 years. I'd see him once in a while. He'd come over to spend the weekend with his wife or whatever the case may be, and he and Peggy are really good people. But he's coming home, and he's so damn thankful is the cost of living, the insanity that goes on in that state was just horrific. People don't have the benefits with their jobs anymore. There's no guarantees. They don't try to build a family of workers. And state laws and state requirements don't help anyone. It's sad. Two things. I was not with you on Tuesday this week. That is somewhat of a rarity. I had some the early stages of some dental work that I thought I was scheduled for just about showtime on Tuesday afternoon. So I called John and said I can't make it. And I had forgotten to let him know this some weeks ago that we had this appointment. And it turned out our appointment was 2 hours earlier. Well, it's a good thing I didn't call John and say, hey, I'm going to be there. It wouldn't have happened. I was in that office for several hours. Next Wednesday, I go in for some major oral surgery. Be interesting to see what I sound like next Thursday, huh? Gabby Hayes? Does that ring a bell? Fuzzy Knight? But we spoke about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies last week. And I share with you that next time we were together, which I thought was going to be, you know, this past Tuesday, that we would talk more about Bitcoin. I don't want to hammer it to death, but I think it was yesterday I was on the way out to pick up the wife who I had to take in for some glasses. We had cars getting serviced. It's a nightmare right now. And I got a call from an old client, Larry. And he said, you're really being hard on the Bitcoin thing. And he was telling me how successful his son has been in it, and he's done some dabbling, etc. We've watched Bitcoin go from like $75 a coin up to 45, 47, 4800. We lost a little bit this week, seemed to bounce right back up this morning. Several weeks ago, it went from, you know, 3500 down to, I don't know, it lost 25, 30%, bounced right back up again. The interest in Bitcoin is red hot, no doubt about it. It's impossible to open a single website, listen to a podcast, or watch a video in the financial space without hearing about the meteoric rise in the price of Bitcoin. Maybe you know a Bitcoin millionaire who bought 500 Bitcoins a few years ago for $50,000, now sitting on a Bitcoin fortune. Oh, yeah. There are people like this that really do exist. And yet the crypto hysteria is distracting you from a very scary truth that no one's talking about. It's interesting because I began talking about this some time back. I just smell a rat. Yes, get it while the getting's good. If you can put in a small amount of money, you reach a point, you double, you triple, quadruple, the value of your account goes up 10 times, pull your original principal back out. Pull a little bit more than that back out. Well, you'll lose a little bit of the growth factor, but you'll at least protect some of that growth that you've had. And see, nobody's talking about one thing, which I brought up to you last week. There's every indication that governments, regulators, tax authorities, and the global elite are moving in for the crypto kill. Now, the future of Bitcoin may be a dystopia in which Big Brother controls what's called the blockchain, decides when and how you can buy or sell anything and everything. Maybe the Bitcoin is the mark of the beast for all I know. Furthermore, cryptocurrency technology could be the very mechanism used by global elites to replace what? The dollar-based financial system. Exactly what we talked about last week. They have a designed and definitive goal, and that is to go cashless. 1958. I was 10 years old, but I got to tell the rest of that story after we come back from the break. I'll be back 3-4 minutes, okay? Stick around.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
We are back, my friends. Thanks for bearing with us. Please let me, before we continue on with this discussion of the Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency, I'm going to go in two directions here with this today, so bear with me. A question was posted to me during the break. Do I take calls? And I don't wish to be rude, but as I am only here for 2 hours a week, and we have a series of breaks, I come to the microphone ready to work. I generally have a program laid out that has a specific direction to go, and it is time consumptive. So, no, as a rule, I don't take calls. If we reach a point here in the near future that I can work that in, maybe one day John needs a day off and I'll take 2 hours, something like that, we can open up and take some calls. But for the time being, no, I've got too much groundwork to lay. I'm trying to put thoughts into everyone's heads to think. I'm not going to suggest that you don't get involved with Bitcoin. I think that there's still some darn good money to be had. But understand, Bitcoin is not the only cryptocurrency out there. It's no different than the clients we've dealt with over the years that waited for gold to get to $1,600 an ounce when they were buying madly. Silver was running $35, $40 an ounce. They were going insane. they were buying it toward the top of the market with the unfortunate belief that it was going to go on forever. Nothing goes on forever. Okay, I took a look at some figures today, and I actually had not seen it until about an hour and a half ago. Gold and silver have both jumped pretty darn well over the last couple of weeks, more so than I would expect it at this time of the year. A lot of that deals with the uncertainty factors of everything that's going on. You know, the Antifa mess, the constant embroiled fighting that go on in Washington, D.C. We got enough of a budget crisis. Now the federal government's got to dole out all this money to help people in hurricanes and who are being completely devastated, their businesses, their livelihood, their homes, their families. It is simply unbelievable. One of the first responders that went out trying to help round up people and check on them was doing it in a kayak in Houston. He's now come down with an unbelievable infection, and he's had to go in for surgery on it. There's a lot going on, and yet I don't care how much money you pour into the problem, it's never going to resolve the losses that people have experienced. Let's go back to our topic. I had mentioned just before the break, 1958, I was 10. Mao Zedong, leader of Communist Party of China, China's dictatorial leader, confronted with demoralized intellectuals and artists who were alienated by the communist rule. And as a policy response, he declared a new policy of what he called intellectual freedom. And Mao declared the policy of letting 100 flowers bloom and 100 schools of thought contend is designed to promote the flourishing of the arts and the progress of science. Well, that declaration was referred to as the 100 Flowers Campaign, often misquoted as the 1,000 Flowers Campaign. The response to Mao's invitation was an enthusiastic outpouring of creative thought and artistic expression, which many years later led to people getting run over by tanks. What came after all this was no surprise to those familiar with the operation of state power. Once the intellectuals and the artists emerged, it was easy for Mao's secret police to round them up, kill them, torture them, send others to re-education camps where they learned ideological conformity. And so you see, the 100 Flowers movement was a trap for those who placed their trust in the state. It was also a taste of things to come in the form of the much more violent and comprehensive Cultural Revolution of 1964 to 74, in which all traces of Chinese bourgeois culture and much of Chinese historical legacy were eradicated. Isn't this what we see taking place in this nation today? Our historical legacy being eradicated? A side note, as I woke up yesterday morning and I read the story about the National Cathedral and the fact that they'd made a decision to remove, this is the most gorgeous cathedral you've ever seen, walls of pure stained glass windows of historical nature. And we're getting cut again. Stay with us. We'll be back. When I get there, I'm learning to fly around the clouds. What goes up must come down.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Nutramedical's new True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
No one can be said. What we all must outrun. Who's gonna carry the weight?
We're gonna get some music, some money related music up there for this program. Jeff Bennett here. Welcome back to our final set. We're talking about things that happened back in the 60s that led to the destruction of Chinese history, their legacy. And there was some great legacy, some amazing history that happened throughout their history. And 2 days ago, yesterday, I guess I woke up and I began to read this story about, and I couldn't read the whole story. I became so angry about the massive stained glass windows that are being removed from this church because they don't want it to be offended because they happen to depict Confederate leaders. Two of whom had been amongst the founding and were members of that church, one of them being Robert E. Lee, one of them being, I believe it was Stonewall Jackson, but it may have been someone else. I apologize for not recalling that. And I became so angry to the point that I was ready to just go online and pull at least one of my websites down and say, that's it, I'm done. America's dead. Well, so long as those of us who think the way we do and speak openly about things, whether we agree or disagree with one another, is not the issue. And no, you don't want to talk about that with him. It's the only thing that's going to keep America in the vestiges of life. But we have to understand that this eradication of history and legacy, whether it be Chinese or American or any other nation around the world, something very similar is going on with the Bitcoin, the whole cryptocurrency mechanism, something also called the distributed ledger technology, or DLT. You see, governments have been patiently watching blockchain technology development grow outside of their control for the last 8 years. But my question is it really outside of their control? Libertarian supporters of blockchain celebrate this lack of government control, and yet their celebration, I still believe, is quite premature, because their belief in the sustainability of powerful systems outside government control is, well, it's quite naive, in my opinion. You see, governments don't like competition, especially when it comes to money. Governments know they cannot stop blockchain, but I don't think they want to. What they want is to control it using powers of regulation, taxation, and investigation, ultimately more coercive powers, including arrest and imprisonment of individuals who refuse to obey government mandates with regard to blockchain or anything dealing with a form of currency, as it were. Now, blockchain does not exist in the ether, despite the name of cryptocurrency. It does not reside on Mars. Blockchain depends on critical infrastructure, including servers, telecommunications networks, the banking system, the power grid, all of which are subject to government control. And don't forget, there's still a large group of people that want to turn over control of the internet to organizations in Europe. Makes me think of Belgium, where so much of that is controlled anyway. There's a group of major companies, all regulated by government. They have announced a joint effort to develop what they call an open source blockchain as a uniform standard for all blockchain applications. Listen to who some of the participants in this group are. JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, State Street, Swift, Cisco, Accenture, the London Stock Exchange, and Mitsubishi Financial. Now, that ain't exactly five guys in hoodies working in a garage here, okay? That's a sign of the corporate state consortium taking over. The big lobbyists, right? And so an elite U.S. legal institution called the Uniform Law Commission that proposes model laws intended for adoption in all 50 states has released its latest proposal called the Uniform Regulation of Virtual Currency Businesses Act. And that law would not only provide a regulatory scheme for state regulators, but would also be a platform for litigation by private plaintiffs and class action lawyers seeking recourse against real or imagined abuses by digital coin exchanges and facilities. Once litigation begins, anonymity is the first casualty. Now, I'm going to end that commentary today. Later tonight, at kettlemoraineprecious metals.com, I will post the entire exchange, the entire column, because it is well worth looking at. Don't misunderstand. I think that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies' time will come to an end at some point. Now, the conversation I had with Larry the other day says that he and his son, who were both vested in Bitcoin, his son got in at a very low rate at about $10,000, and his stuff is worth $80,000-$90,000 today. That's pretty good. But he did at one point go back in and pull his original investment back out, by the way. So everything he's working on now is his so-called profit. How long will the profit remain? Will it take a dive? Will it continue to compound and grow? You still continue to pull some of your gains out as you grow along. So I don't want to be compounding doing cryptocurrency stuff every time we come on the air. All I'm saying to you is be careful. Do not put in any more than you can afford to lose, or keep track of it on an hour-by-hour basis or a day-to-day basis, but you've got to keep very close track. How quickly can you liquidate? I don't know. Larry informs me that if you want it, some of your value can be put on a MasterCard. He told me of a friend who walked into a Walmart to buy some things and asked the individual, do you trade in cryptocurrencies? Gee, I don't know. Do you trade in Bitcoin? No, I don't think we do. So the guy pulls out his MasterCard, makes his purchase, and leaves. And just as he began to walk away, he said, you just conducted business in cryptocurrency. And the kid really didn't know what the heck he was talking about. It was that simple. Always be careful. Don't rely on everything you read. Okay? That's all I'm saying to do. I'm not telling you bail out of your cryptocurrency and call me up and put all your money in gold and silver. I'd love it if you do that. But my concern is you. Remember, this is your money. It's not my money. Oh, and one more thing. This was an interesting one to me. I got to try to shut this thing off. I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to listen to you. I told you that. No, I'm not talking to the network. I'm talking to my computer. Warren Buffett, one of the wealthiest men in the world. Bitcoin is up sevenfold since Buffett warned digital currency was a mirage. I mean, look, today we live in a speculative fever for digital currencies, and it's huge. But investors may want to heed the warning of Buffett from the past. On Bitcoin, Warren said, stay away from it. It's a mirage, basically. The idea that it, Bitcoin, has some huge intrinsic value is just a joke in my view. Well, I go along with it. There is no intrinsic value. Not that I'm able to determine. But when you got a guy like that who's a Nobel Prize winner, a billionaire investment manager, when they're sounding the alarm over the speculative fever in digital currencies, it might be prudent to review the sage old wisdom on the topic from the Oracle of Omaha himself. I just find it interesting that there's been that much unbelievable gain. I cannot remember what the figures were. I read it somewhere today that X number of bucks, apparently at one point a couple of days ago, they said that cryptocurrency was up about 380% this year through last Thursday morning. Or is that through this morning? As of this morning. So some interesting things. Be careful. Grab some profits along the way. Convert some of those profits into things that your family need, be it food, be it gold, be it silver, be it a new transmission, a new engine, a new set of teeth. It doesn't matter. Do what you got to do, okay? But take some of your profits along the way. You want to pick up some gold? You want to pick up some silver? We hope you'll give us a call. I was doing some work last week with a client, and I've determined that we can do some gold at probably, depending on what kind of gold we're looking at, we can pick up gold for between 1 and 1.5% over our cost. For a marginally sizable transaction, generally for about a 10 ounce, less than 10 ounces, it might be a tiny bit above that. There's some shipping expenses, and I've got to go to different suppliers. But if you're looking at the metals market and you want to grab onto some for your protection, think about those poor people in down in Florida now who are being told they're going to have to evacuate. With what? The banks are probably closed. They can't even get any cash out. They may or may not have access to enough in their debit cards, et cetera, their credit cards. They want to grab some goods, some specie, take it along with them. Are they going to be able to do it? And yet this brings us to probably amongst the final comments of the day. There's one more thing I was hoping to get into that I don't think we're going to get into today, but that we may be able to comment on it briefly. Not sure yet. But yeah, I think we will be. We are facing a real issue in this country. And, we've talked about this stuff for many, many years. and everybody thinks that it means it's right around the corner. We don't know when it's going to be here, but it's going to happen. There are people saying that, well, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to lock in my retirement now and get out while I can, and I'm going to fight it as a retiree if they go and change the retiree's benefits. That was the executive director for the Kentucky Association of State Employees. There have been some proposed pension changes, which have now brought fears of state worker exodus. The public awareness of the degree to which state pension funds are underfunded, my friends, has risen considerably over the past year. It's a problem that's easy to hide as long as the economy is growing and state tax receipts grow. But it's a catastrophe when the economic conditions deteriorate and tax revenue flattens or declines, as is occurring now all over this nation. Look at Illinois. Somehow they con the unions to getting involved, and they this and that, and the whole state's basically going belly up. I believe the day's going to come my sister-in-law is all of a sudden going to wake up one month and find out she's got no pension money coming in because there's nothing there. What I've shared with you up to this point in time makes reference to a report of a 20% jump in Kentucky state worker retirements just in August, after it was reported that a consulting group recommended the state restructure its state pension system. Dave Kranzer tells us that he knows of a teacher who left her job in order to cash completely out of the state employee pension account in Colorado. She knows the truth. But the problem with underfunding is significantly worse than reported. Because you see, pensions today are run like Ponzi schemes. As long as the amount of cash coming into the fund is equal to or exceeds beneficiary payouts, the scheme can go on. But for years, due to poor investment decisions, Fed monetary policies, beneficiary payouts have been swamping investment returns and funding contributions. Pension funds have notoriously overmarked their illiquid, risky investments and understated their projected actuarial investment returns in order to hide the degree to which they are overfunded. Most funds currently assume 7 to 8% future rates of return, which is better than you can get in a CD in your bank. But unfortunately, the ability to generate returns or deliver returns like that have been impossible with interest rates at the level they've been at for a good number of years. And so in the quest to compensate for low fixed income returns, pension funds have plowed money into stocks, private equity funds, and illiquid and very risky investments like subprime auto loan securities, commercial real estate. Some pension funds have as much as 20% of their assets in private equity. And when the stock market inevitably cracks, it's going to wipe pensions out. Example. Pensions overestimating their future return calculations. In the state of Minnesota, adjusted the net present value of its future liabilities from 8% down to 4.6. That's the same as lowering its protected or projected ROR rate of return from 8% to 4.6%. The rate of underfunding went from 20% to 47% immediately. And I can guarantee you that if an independent auditor spent the time required to implement a bona fide market value mark to market on that fund's illiquid assets, the amount of underfunding would likely jump to at least 70%. Oh, for those of you who don't know, a bona fide mark to market means at what price will you buy this from me now with cash up front? What is the true market price at which the fund could sell its private equity fund investments? Harvard is trying to sell $2.5 billion in real estate and private equity investments. The move was announced in May, and there have not been any material updates since then, other than a quick press release in early July that an investment fund was looking at the assets offered. We might suggest the bid for those assets is either lower than expected or non-existent, other than a pennies on the dollar option value bid. You see, at some point, current pension fund beneficiaries are going to seek an upfront cash out. And if enough beneficiaries begin to inquire about this, it could trigger a run on pensions and drastic measures will be implemented to prevent this. But you see, they don't care. It's your money. It's not their money. They're not playing with their money. They're playing with yours. A little spooky, isn't it? Through the sleuthing, little detective work of Wolf Richter, not Wolf Blitzer, but Richter. The ECB is seeking from the European Commission the authority to implement a moratorium on cash withdrawals from banks at its discretion. And the only reason for this is concern over the precarious financial condition of the European banking system. And it's not just some cavalier Italian and Spanish banks. Deutsche Bank, at any given moment, is on the ropes. Deutsche Bank has had some real problems in the last few years, haven't they? Make no mistake about it. The banks in this country are in no better condition than their European counterparts. If Europe is moving toward enabling the ECB to close the bank windows ahead of an impending financial crisis, I guarantee you that Janet is yelling and already working on a similar proposal. And all it would take is an extended 10 to 20% drawdown in the stock market to trigger a massive run on custodial assets, pensions, banks, brokerages. And all this includes IRAs. I'd suggest that one of the primary motivations behind the Fed or the PPT's no longer invisible hand propping up the stock and fixed income markets is the knowledge of the pandemonium that will ensue if the stock market were allowed to embark on a true price discovery mission. We're going to have problems with all these things. Look, like every other attempt throughout history to control the laws of economics and perpetuate Ponzi schemes, the current attempt by the central banks all over the world is going to end with one very big spectacular collapse. And we might suggest that this is one of the driving forces underlying the repeated failure by the Western central banks to drive the price of gold lower since mid-December of 2015. We might also suggest that it would be a good idea to keep as little of your wealth as possible tied up in banks and other financial custodians. The financial system today is one giant roach motel. You check your money in, but eventually you'll never get out. These are amongst the reasons for owning gold. Can you trust the welfare? When I say gold, I'm talking in generic terms. Gold, silver, platinum. I read the other day the U.S. Mint is coming out with a new addition to their portfolio. 1 ounce palladium coins. Yeah, that kind of surprised me. But when you look at all these things, and then you begin to find little signs elsewhere in the world. You know that there's one country central bank which is urging its 6 million citizens to buy gold. Yeah. You've got a nation that is trying to get their populace to buy gold, to put a certain amount of their money into hard assets, specie, real money. It's the Central Bank of Kyrgyzstan. They're encouraging their 6 million citizens to each own at least 3.5 ounces of physical gold. Because precious metal is the nation's leading export. But, surprisingly, the people there invest most of their money in cattle. The country is located on the border of China, which seems to be playing a significant role in its choice to shift away from their traditional form of investment. A growing trend across Asia has been an increasing demand for physical metals by both private and institutional investors. The Chinese and Russian governments are leading the world in their efforts to stockpile gold, and in turn, they've been fueling speculation about its importance in the future of international finance. Countries like India have seen internal turmoil as their traditions of owning precious metals confront the government's new war on cash. India is having a war on cash. The Indian people are the world's largest buyers of gold, and the measures taken to eliminate cash transactions have only emboldened black markets to meet the demand. And black markets means higher prices for species, doesn't matter what spot is. The product itself, hard money, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, etc., etc. It's all going to be a supply and demand field, folks. It's all going to be a supply and demand issue. And as authorities crack down on paper money all over the world, gold will remain one of the last physical and untraceable assets available. The current uncertainty in the banking system has increased demand for more direct control over one's savings. For every dollar you keep in the bank, that's a dollar less control you have over your own savings. You got to have a certain amount in there to make sure you got enough money to pay your bills, your mortgage, your electric, your gas bill, water bill, garbage bill, whatever the case may be. But when that's where all your money is, and the bank is forced into a situation to close the window at the teller's office, and you can't get any, and you find out your ATM doesn't. Think about these people down in the hurricane area. There's no power. Guess what? The ATM machines don't work. How foolish are these people that run on down to whoop out that little debit card? I got to get me a couple hundred bucks out of the ATM. Whoops. ATM is busticated. The ATM has already spit out all the cash it's going to spit out. You don't have a little man standing on the street underneath that little booth just chucking, you know, bags of $100 bills up in that thing. When it's empty, it's empty. And if they can't get to it, that's how it goes. You've got to stop putting all your faith and your trust in the banking system and the U.S. dollar and the fiat monetary system. You've got to put 10 to 20% of your liquid assets, that's at minimum, into precious metal. It's the one thing that they can play all the games in the world they want with it, but when push comes to shove, people will take the gold. They'll take the silver. Hey, you decide to ask your little honey this weekend to get married? What are you planning on giving her? A wedding ring made up of melted down old debit cards? Typically, you're going to get her a gold engagement ring, a silver one, a white gold one. Maybe you're going to get her platinum. Why? It's cheaper to go to the gumball machine and get a plastic ring out of there. Few marriages last beyond the lifespan of that plastic ring. But that's another story. Look, I'm here to help you. I'm not always here. I'm not always instantly capable of answering the phone. You call, I'll see that you've called. I'll call you back. I'll try desperately tonight to get the voicemail set up on this thing. I have no chance. Look, I'm going 18, 20 hours a day, folks. I'm beat now. I get off the air, I could go crash for a while, but I can't afford to do that. I've got things going on. Call us at Kettle Marine. We are the exclusive precious metals dealers for Republic Broadcasting Network. You can reach me at 602-909-8691. That's 602-909-8691. If you can't reach me there, you can call the other number that's listed on our website, KettleMarinePreciousMetals.com. I will see you on Tuesday. Wednesday, I turn into Gabby Hayes. See you then. Thanks so much for tuning in. Much more coming up on RBN for the rest of the evening. Take care of yourselves without apology. I am Jeffrey Bennett.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. heart attack, or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones. Please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.